Station 6. As the heirs of thousands of years of technical, intellectual, and social innovation, few would argue that this is a unique period in human history. We enjoy conveniences which our ancestors never could have conceived. And yet, this contemporary lifestyle does allow us to distance ourselves from the very environment that provides for our standard of living. We remain as dependent upon our ecosystem every bit as much as previous generations, but we no longer know the personal experience of finding solutions to living from the earth in the way our forebears did. Nowhere is this differential more apparent than in the fields of medicine, and it is here, next to Clinton Memorial Hospital, that we should consider what our earth gives us and the perspective that awareness inspires. The medicinal knowledge of First Nation peoples is well documented, and Virgil Vogel's treatise on American Indian medicine is a great place to start. As you walk this path, you will not be very far away from a veritable pharmacy of healing substances that native peoples used every day. Early accounts from physicians speak of just how effective indigenous healers were in using these plants and trees. As early as 1656, French Jesuit Paul Lejeune would report on the remarkable healing he witnessed by tribes that used the sassafras tree. The buzz about the indigenous healing arts continued well into the next century, as botanist Benjamin Burton heralded the use of dogwood to fight fevers, and Cincinnati doctor Daniel Drake spread the word of native medicinals made of tulip trees, wild cherry, boneset, and oak. And alongside Drake, Marietta, Ohio physician Dr. Fortescue Cumming would integrate the local Indian prescription of snake root and ginseng into his arsenal to fight malaria-like illness. Natives knew the woods and fields to be the habitat for thousands of bona fide medicinal cures, and early accounts indicated these people to be, if nothing else, pragmatic. In a culture completely intertwined with nature, the Native American breadth and understanding of their pharmacological resources were the talk of European settlement. Wild geranium, bayberry, sumac, hemlock, oaks, and persimmon were all medicinally used for their astringent properties. Sweet gum was used as a stimulant, an expectorant, and antiseptic. Elm bark was used for burns, and lion's foot was used for snake bite, as well as black ash. If you had a whooping cough, your tribal healer found the solution in the American chestnut. Club moss was used as a coagulant. From infections to arrow wounds, substances for a real cure were barely a day's walk from the village, although the preparations and applications could be quite specific. Someday you may stumble upon a book entitled The Pharmacopoeia of the United States of America. Within those pages, you will find close to 200 drugs whose origin comes from native knowledge of their ecosystem. Throughout your life, you've probably taken a variety of medicines, and the plants and trees from which they were extracted were only there because there's still an ecosystem healthy enough to support them. How often we realize this connection is something to think about as you walk among the plants and trees on this path.